All right, 1 o'clock Friday, Football Friday. We are really excited to talk to Kevin Harlan. He'll be on the call Monday night for Commanders Bengals, an absolute legend calling games. Kevin, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me on the show. Good to be on with you guys. Looking forward to seeing the Commanders for the first time this year.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure you've watched and talked to the coaches and everything. What have you made of Jaden Daniels so far?
Well, we've not talked to the coaches, and I have not seen him in person. I've just watched a little bit of tape. I've got another game coming up this weekend on CBS on Sunday, so
okay.
I'm getting ready for these two games kind of at the same time. But, no, what I know is what everybody knows. This kid is an incredibly talented player. He was that way before he ended up at LSU. He has, you know, as a rookie starting in this league, is now not a rarity. I think that he is equipped to do it. He has played on gigantic stages before, doesn't seem to be fazed. I've always liked the way he plays, and he's only going to get better. I mean, I think what's not to like? He represents a turning of the page at that position. They drafted him for a reason. These quarterbacks probably come in more prepared to start in the NFL than ever before, and he would be right at the top of the list. So I can't wait to watch him play.
Kevin, you say you got that game coming, got another game. Do you ever get all these names and stuff running through your head and get confused?
Oh, I'm confused by my own name.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried to do a few games. Like, whoa, you try to do one thing, you start thinking about it, you get all these names running through your head. It's tough. But you make it seem so easy.
If you do something every day, and that's kind of what I've learned over these years, you do a little bit every day. It's like studying for a test in high school or college, right? You study a little bit every day, and the repetition sets in. And more or less, you're going to do fairly well. It's when you try to cram at the end where that sometimes does not work and pay off for most people. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit every day, I think, aids to that end result. I'm going to be in Seattle on Sunday and then get halfway across the country and spend the night and then finish the trip on Monday morning into Cincinnati, which will be a tough game for the Commanders for sure. That's last week the Bengals probably should have beaten the Chiefs. They did not, but looks like they've kind of regained their traction. And Cincinnati does not play that well in the month of September. Joe Burrow's record in September is not that good. So if you're ever going to play him, this is the time to play him in the month of September. And you know, I know from a Washington standpoint, Commanders are hoping that they can take advantage of that, which has seemed to kind of follow Burrow through the first couple years of his career, not playing well necessarily to begin seasons.
We're talking with Kevin Harlan here, the voice of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. And I got to tell you, Kevin, because of the work I do here in D.C., a lot of times I'm in the car for Monday Night Football, like at least the first half. The Westwood broadcast is so good.
Yes,
I really enjoy it. I am sure you've called a bunch of Bengals games. Obviously, they've got kind of that Ja'Marr Chase situation looming there. Do you still consider the Bengals as maybe the top rival to the Chiefs, even though they started 0-2?
Yeah, you know, I think Houston is emerging in that. I'm anxious to see what Harbaugh does with the Chargers. Buffalo is always going to be there. But the Bengals, probably because of Burrow and they have Chase, that's a pretty special team, clearly. And I think they're built, again, to battle the Chiefs. They did this past Sunday and barely lost. And, I think that we're so loaded with quarterbacks in the AFC. You know, whether it's Rodgers with the Jets, who's now there, certainly Allen, Tua went healthy with Miami, C.J. Stroud emerging with Houston, Herbert with the Chargers. I mean, you just go right on down the line, and you just see, you know, one good team after another. But the problem is they're dealing with a quarterback who is generational in talent, Mahomes.
Yes.
So, you know, the Chiefs have the confidence of a two-time defending champion. They've got the confidence of having the best quarterback in the game. They got maybe the best coach in the game in Andy Reid. The system is in place. But they're like a lot of teams. They've got their challenges, too. They just lost their best running back. They've got some injuries on defense they're dealing with. Every team's got some kind of crisis right now that they're dealing with. Just ask the Rams and 49ers and ask Miami, you know, what crisis, what's your crisis? And they can tell you, well, they in San Francisco, it's Christian McCaffrey, gone, injured. The Rams have wide receiver injuries. They've got offensive line injuries. Tua is out for the foreseeable future in Miami. You know, he's the engine for that offense. So there's so much going around the league, but the Chiefs always seem to find answers. And until these other teams that are eventually going to go through some kind of crisis themselves this season, until they can handle it like the Chiefs do, the Chiefs, the team to beat for sure in the AFC.
Okay. You mentioned Andy Reid, and we look at it and everyone immediately thinks about the quarterback, but Andy is not a young coach in this league. He's been around, former offensive lineman. But you watch him when he gets quarterbacks, he seems to correct them. Michael Vick, you know, Pat plays unbelievable. They do all these different plays. Donovan. How important still is the head coach? I mean, the coaches that can, I guess, go out and take a guy and help elevate him to his full talent?
Well, you know as well as anyone that culture and coaching can be all the difference. And I'll just give you just a very small example, and it's a very small sample size, but Sam Darnold, who was the third overall pick by the Jets, yeah, you know, 7 years ago, played there 3 years, then went to Carolina, you know, changes on the staff, changes at head coach, changes in offensive system and schemes, and he finally signs a one-year deal last year with San Francisco, which, like the Chiefs, is, you know, the picture of stability. Same coach, same culture, same offense, same quarterback requirements, attention to detail, a framework, you know, all the things that great organizations show. And so Darnold goes out there last year, and they basically rebuild him. They not only reteach the position, but they teach preparation and situational things and the benefit of all the things that position needs to have to be successful. And they're doing it with Brock Purdy, right? So he backs up Purdy. He learns how to prepare differently. He takes better care of his body. He learns philosophy in the offense of the Niners, and which is cutting edge. And he takes all that and he goes to Minnesota. And he beats the Giants in the Meadowlands week one. He beats the aforementioned 49ers last week in game two. This week they take on Houston, a very tough AFC team. And he appears, we did that game last week against the Niners, he appears to be back to what he was out of SC with all that promise. Competent, great arm, sneaky athletic, great vision, calm presence, certainly prepared, attention to detail, all that stuff, right? And mm-hmm. and that's what a great organization can do. Before San Francisco, he had four different head coaches, five different offensive coordinators. Like, it's just turbulence. Everywhere you turn, turbulence. Nothing is the same. Who in the world can survive in a world like that? Nobody can. And B. Mitch, you know this. You need culture. You need stability. You need a process. You need something in place with a vision and principles that guide you every time you walk in that facility. And every workout, and he hadn't had it. And then he gets it with San Francisco. I think he's now found a whole new chapter. And he's only 27, and, you know, because he was drafted when he was 20. So he's only 27 years old. He's in his seventh year, and he's at the height of his athletic powers. I think he's one of the more fascinating stories. Like I said, small sample size could come crashing down, but the early results show that when you reprogram and reboot, you know, maybe you can salvage one of these highly drafted quarterbacks. I'm hoping that's the case for Bryce Young at Carolina. Best thing he can do is leave there, go someplace like San Francisco, someplace with a sound offense, a great philosophy, stability in coaching, and they can rebuild him. And there's a lot there I still think alike with him. I still think the same maybe with Zach Wilson, who's a third-string quarterback with Denver, who was a high pick by the Jets. You know, there are examples out there of guys that can be reclaimed, rebooted, and hopefully reborn in their regard.
I mean, to that point, through two games, sure looks like Sam Darnold fits that bill. We'll see if that, you know, if that holds for the whole season. What do you make of some of these kind of surprise 2-0 teams, Kevin? The Vikings, the Seahawks,
Saints.
The Saints.
That was surprising.
I mean, the Saints look outrageous so far.
Yeah, well, I think Clint Kubiak is the right answer for Carr down in New Orleans. They've always had pretty good parts, and they were disappointing last year. But they kind of a carryover from Sean Payton offensively. I think they got a coordinator who fits the skill set of what they've got, Kamara and Taysom Hill, and clearly Carr. Like Clint Kubiak, it comes from that whole tree, right? That McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur tree. And I think he's just bringing some of those principles down there to that. I think up in Seattle, they're getting great quarterbacking. Geno Smith, another guy who had just turbulence everywhere he turned. Early pick by the Jets. Jumped from to the Giants, then the Chargers, then back up and only a third string at that up in Seattle. And you get a coach that believes in you, as Pete Carroll did, and you put a system in place, and you have an organization with stability. They're not changing coaches every couple years. Mm-hmm. It can do wonders for a guy who still may have something in the tank, still may have that positive DNA at that position. And Geno Smith is a great example. Terrific last year, off to an incredible start this year. They're 2-0. Talked about the Vikings. They got Aaron Jones, who was let go by Green Bay because he couldn't stay healthy. He's making a difference at the running back position, kind of what Dalvin Cook did early on in his career with the Vikings. They've rebuilt their offensive line. Minnesota's rebuilt their defense. The great thing about the NFL is you can win four games one year and the very next win 11. And it's been done, and it will continue to be done because of some of the things we're talking about, the right coaching with the right quarterback and the right culture, and you surround these guys with the right kind of frame of reference, and great things can happen. And we're seeing that. We're not seeing with Carolina. There are a couple other teams that you just go, holy smokes, like what is going on? And that probably is not the right answer. But there are some that are making the right choices. And by the way, up in Seattle, they get, as you know, that terrific defensive coordinator with Baltimore. Historically, they put up numbers that a defense had never done in terms of ranking. They hire him in Seattle. He's now putting his fingerprints on that defense up there with the Seahawks. They hire the University of Washington offensive coordinator who worked with Michael Penix, who was drafted number 8 by Atlanta. You know, they put him in charge of that innovative Washington Husky offense, put him into Seattle. He's watched the Seahawks from afar, but he's been right in the backyard in Seattle where the University of Washington is. So, you know, you can start to connect the dots in this big game. But the bottom line probably becomes this with the teams that are good. Who handles crisis, like we were talking about before, who handles crisis the best? Niners are in it without McCaffrey. Miami's in it without Tua. The Rams are without offensive linemen and key offensive parts at the receiver. You know, there are teams that are right now, Kansas City just lost their best running back. You know, how do these teams handle, you know, adversity? Can they get traction in light of losing an important part of their team? We'll find out as the season goes on.
Absolutely. And, totally. And the crisis is so accurate because these NFL games get turn into their own events. You know what I mean? Like week to week is like this massive buildup for this event, and then there's payoff or there isn't. I'm talking with Kevin Harlan here from TNT and Westwood One and just a really, really impressive resume. Kevin, I'm curious, man. You don't do any social media, correct?
I do not, no. I do not do it. I have, I think to find things that I know that social media is not a very positive place. I've got three daughters. My wife and I have three daughters. If anything is on there that they think I need to see, they'll let me know. Otherwise, they kind of now they're all married moms, so they got a lot of other things on their plate. But I you know what? I've survived this long without going on it, and I'm going to just do that for my remaining years in the business. I do go on social media to follow the Adam Schefters, the Shams, the Woj, you know, of course, who's now left. But there are so many great writers in the NFL and in the NBA, and I follow them because they become like a newsreel for me. They keep you up to date on what's going on. So I've got somebody just passed me on the best 32 writers in the NFL and their Twitter account. So I follow all of them, and that's how I get a lot of my information as a part of the mosaic of ways you prepare for these games. But they certainly help. They're there for every practice. They're in the locker room. They're traveling to the game. They see it in person all the time. There's no better people to rely on sometimes. So that's what I use it for. But never to go and look at what people are saying about me, what they think about me. I'm too scared, number one. And number two, I don't know if it would do me any good, number two. So I stay out of it.
It's fascinating because in a lot of ways, I'm like kind of jealous of you as somebody that is knee-deep in it seemingly at all times. So this weekend, you fly to Seattle on Saturday. Where is home for you, Kansas City?
Well, right now, we have a cottage up on Lake Michigan. So I'm north of Green Bay by about an hour and a half drive.
Oh, wow.
And we're an area up in Wisconsin that juts out into Lake Michigan. And then I'll go into Seattle and then do that game. And then after the game, get back out to the airport and fly to O'Hare, spend the night in Chicago, and then we go into Cincinnati on Monday morning. Red Eyes, I've done my tour of Red Eyes. Unless I can avoid them, I just do not want to. You're never your best on a red eye, so I try to stay away from those. I could have, but I'm not doing it.
I'm sleeping no matter, and it's still at the gate. I'm sleeping, Kevin, and
it drives
I don't wake
nuts.
Up until it land, and I'm normally well rested.
Well, good for you. I can't sleep, man. My mind, I can't shut my mind off. So I gotta. I admire you because I wish I could do that. I can't, unfortunately.
I'm like
I wish
you.
I could be.
Oh yeah,
I can't do it either, Kevin. We're big fans of your work.
Yeah,
always
definitely.
Enjoy. Oh, well, how much crazier does your schedule get in like a month or 6 weeks once the NBA's part of it?
Yeah, that's you know, number one, it's the last season of the NBA on TNT where I've been for. This will be my 29th year at TNT,
and it's just an awesome product.
Yeah.
Well, and it's thank you, and I share that with all the men and women I work with there, and have been there for many, many, many years. And it's going to be a very sad season for all of us. But pretty soon we start our Tuesday games. So that'll mean Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's a pretty tough stretch for anybody, even a man who might be 30 years younger than me to prepare for. But I've done it now for the last 4 or 5 years. And it looks like this will be the final year that I have to do 3 in a row. And it'll be bittersweet to do that. But we have another year of the NBA on TNT. And looking forward to finishing strong. Certainly finishing strong.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin.
Kevin, thank you for the
appreciate
time, man.
You, man.
We'll see you on Monday.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care. Thank you very all much.
Right. Thank you. That is Kevin Harlan.
That was Big John's boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I bet. Voice of Monday Night Football for Westwood One. Obviously, you've seen him call NBA games for TNT. A long, long, impressive career for Kevin Harlan. And we will see him Monday. That'll be very cool. Here's what I'd like to do. I want to go around the league. We got to make some picks. I also want to maybe circle back to some of this Cliff Kingsbury commentary. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All of our football coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator. Find out how much you'll save. T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, B. This criticism about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. What we know is there's not a lot of motion. A lot of the stuff people were worried about has kind of come true in that McLaurin doesn't move around very much and there's not a lot of motion. But I think Cliff is completely misrepresented. The dude just wants to run the ball. Like, they want to be super physical.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that gets forgotten in the discussion.
And I think that is something still, although the league doesn't respect running backs and all, every team feels you got to have a running game that takes pressure off your quarterback. And I think Cliff has done that, and then he'll start tossing it around. But he's trying to establish the run first. And I think that the fact that Terry is a blocker, the running game gets established, that's going to help him out a lot. Play action pass and things of that nature where he gets to go at a guy like he's about to block him and then slip right past him. All those things that help. But if you look at the production he's had without moving around, I think that it's only a matter of time before he has a breakout game.
McLaurin breakout game, you'd like to think that's coming, but I don't know that the offense is going to start to look different. Like, there are some shots down the field that Jaden hasn't taken or hasn't hit on. I think those will come, but I think the most important, obviously Daniels is of paramount importance, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's at the top of the list. But beyond that, I think it's interesting because beyond that, I think Robinson and Eckler are the most important pieces to this offense.
Yeah. Both of those guys are capable of running, and they are very effective out the backfield. Austin is amazing out the backfield. And I think that when you have multiple guys that move the ball around multiple ways, a la San Francisco, and I'm not comparing them to San Francisco at this point, you just keep people on their heels a lot. So the more this thing begins to do it, then all of a sudden Terry is not a guy that you're trying to take out of the game too much anymore because you got to care about everybody else. So now he gets the one-on-one matchups where we know he has cooked a lot of good cornerbacks by him when it's one-on-one.
Right. So. I think you know what will be interesting? Let's look at some of the props for this weekend specific to Jaden. You know what? We haven't talked to the boys in the aquarium all day. It's been just a super busy day. Jeffrey, how are you feeling about this McLaurin situation?
To me, honestly, Jay, as much as I want to keep McLaurin, I wouldn't be hurt if, you know, he was traded away or anything, because that's the talk. Get something.
Who's
for
talking
him
about that?
Oh, yeah, that's something that was on the
That's a lot of talk, Jay.
On the internet, big time.
Yeah, you got to touch some grass sometimes, brother. But the thing is, I want him to flourish. Like, it's week two. I still believe he can have the breakout year. But if that does happen, where they do get him away from the team and trade him away, I wouldn't be mad, because at the end of the day, I want to see Terry succeed. And if he goes somewhere and get a ring, I would be happy for him. But do I think he deserves to be in the middle of another rebuild? I just don't think, you know, Terry's kind of getting on the older side. He came in the league at what, 26? You know,
nah, he wasn't 26, but
like 25, like
20, 23, 24, something like that.
Yeah, but something like that.
He hadn't been, you got to realize, but it's not about the age, it's about how many years you're taking that punishment.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm good with either way, but I definitely want him to flourish here, finish his career. We never know what could happen in these next couple of weeks. We could get it all together.
I gotta say, Jeff, I was just asking you if you thought they had to get him the ball more, and I'm okay if they trade him.
My
is
bad.
That you? No, that's okay, dude. It's very interesting because I didn't think this was at all that close. Like, dude, I tweeted out, Dan Graziano, I guess, said on SportsCenter that the Rams, because they've had so many injuries, might look to add a veteran receiver at the trade deadline. And you got, like, the trade deadline in the NFL used to be nothing, and now it's like a real thing.
It is.
How much I am not suggesting this is real, okay? But how much speculation is this Deep State Commander's Twitter we're talking about here, Jeffrey, that people are talking about this?
No, you know, I just look at stuff.
I'm gonna say it's not even deep state.
It's not deep state.
You go on the internet and you type in Commanders, you will see that talk going on amongst the fan base right now.
Okay.
And my bad. I went that deep because I was over here editing audio, and then I jumped in and just rambled off. But that's how I feel about him, man.
All right, I just Googled Commanders, and let's see if.
Yeah, I realize that
Bengals cornerback calls Commanders offense simple. Commanders looking for more ways to get Terry McLaurin involved. All right. All right. Landini, what do you make of the McLaurin situation? I meant that he only has 39 receiving yards through two games, but maybe there's other situations.
I mean, it doesn't seem great. I feel like you, if you're going to have Terry McLaurin on your team, you want to kind of try to get the guy the ball. I don't really know what the issue is there.
Have you heard this trade stuff, Landy?
I've heard it from Jeff.
No, I did see it the other day. It popped up. It's like, and it, whatever you're, which is like, if you look at a lot and what you look for, that's what they're going to send you. And if it's people discussing it, there are people discussing it.
Okay. I think it's premature to have any of that discussion. I do think, though, I think they're going to be active at the trade deadline. And I think I would keep in mind with veteran players, this is a rebuild, and they want more picks. Yeah. And they haven't been shy about that. Organizationally, mm-hmm. like from ownership level, you saw what they did last year at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So they are not
They're not afraid.
That's fascinating, though. I did not know that that was such a discussion topic.
But you know how it goes in Commander Twitter land. Somebody puts something out there, then the rest of them are going to have the conversation. And then it's going to take a life of its own.
Yeah. I think, well, you know, you also had – we had to deal with the Brandon Ayuk trade discussion nonstop for however long that was, right?
I had my head hurting.
Then they actually trade Dotson. And I think some of the reporting, I want to say – forgive me, I don't remember who exactly reported this. But I know they had talks – around the draft, and then it came out that the Niners were interested in Terry, and they said no. Mm-hmm. So there have been conversations. I think they'll be active at the deadline. I don't know who or what will be included. Nobody go anywhere. We got to make some bets, settle up the week.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating, and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. Now is the time to switch to Rude. Take advantage of Rood's $2,000 in tax credits, and Maryland residents, you can even score exclusive rebates from Rood. I personally switched my house over to Rood, and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rood.com to find your savings. That's R-U-U-D.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan, the conclusion of a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. About to get in this Commander's locker room. Generally, Terry McLaurin would talk today. He talks on Thursdays, and in the extremely small bubble of Ashburn, Virginia, Commander's training facilities, even though it's Friday, today's Thursday. So we'll probably get to hear from Terry here in a few minutes, probably a half hour or so. So I'm curious what he says and thinks. You know, what we do, though, every day on this program is bet. We like to pick winners, try to figure it out. Big weekend coming up. Before we get to Heard It Here First, let's go around and make some official picks for Bengals Commanders. I guess, will we do that Monday?
Yeah, Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Monday night game, JP.
Yeah, that's true. Do you know the last time Washington beat Cincinnati?
In Cincinnati?
Yeah.
1991?
You were playing.
Yeah, I ran a touchdown.
Did you?
Yeah.
On a kick or what?
Punt return, I broke a dude on.
That game?
Three spots, yeah. That's when they had Icky Woods.
Did you hit the Icky Shuffle in front of him?
Nah, I just scored and started yapping a little bit, but I was like, when I hit this guy early, I was like, I don't know, somebody broke something out there, coach.
All right. Good for you. I've never broken anyone's arm on a football field.
It's better him than me.
All right, let's make some bets then.
All right. We actually find out the results. We don't bet here.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
I was 3-1.
Let's find out the results. Let my man Jeff talk.
Well, I don't know what your bets was for Tuesday and Wednesday, B.
I was 3-0 going into yesterday.
Okay, I was about to say, but you took an L yesterday. I didn't know JP and Landfill bet record, but Landfill bet hit last night. JP bet. Whew.
They were 1-2.
So I'm 3-1 as well.
Okay. What did I take last night?
Manfred, you were 1-2. You were Appalachian not 2-1.
I was, B.
No, you weren't. You were 1-2 the other day, and now you're going to come up here and say you hit a bet, now you're 3-1? How the hell that works?
Yeah, B, I think you know what you're talking about.
So B is the winner.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about.
I went 0-1 again.
Well, yeah, that's all that matters.
You feeling better, dude?
Yeah, I'm feeling better.
Okay. Appalachian State lost last night, I think, 50-10 or something.
Who beat them?
I have South my bets Alabama. For the week written down right here, B. I took a Saquon touchdown. That was my loss. Then I took the Liverpool money line. That was a win. Then I took the Dodgers money line. That was a win. And then last night, whatever the hell, I took one. I took the Cubs money line.
What's going on?
I think he's actually telling the truth.
Okay, well, I won. Don't worry about it. Me and Lanford were tied for
B's just
whatever
declaring
you want to
himself.
Here. I don't care.
And Beavis is technically 3-2.
No, I'm not. I'm 3-1.
I think he's right.
He lost one.
I think I'd be 3-2, and I only missed one damn day.
He got an administrative yesterday. L.
No.
Yeah, you took an L yesterday.
That's all 3-1. What are you talking about?
Patrick Corbin, what might have been his final Nats start yesterday, went 4 1/3, got 13 outs. I feel like I've never seen outs recorded as a stat like that.
13 outs.
4 strikeouts, 1 walk, 5 earned runs. Corbin, it's been a hell of a run, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you for the World Series.
Bye.
That's what matters. You like anything tonight? Stanford, Syracuse.
Nope.
What about Illinois, Nebraska?
Nope.
San Jose State, Washington State.
I always like San Jose State. They play an exciting brand of football.
You could probably find me betting on the Illini, if you're curious, what I'm doing tonight.
Not curious.
Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to everybody that called in. Thank you to Kevin Harlan. Thank you to Governor Wes Moore. And thank you to Charlie Goldsmith. B. Mitch and I will be in Cincinnati on Monday. Can't wait to do the show there before the game. Grant and Danny, not coming your way next. We got Nats baseball.
Let's go.